Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce this week's episode, and I'm going to introduce it really hard.
Whoa.
Welcome to Football Land!
Wow.
Even though you were introducing it, I wasn't prepared for the introduction, because you were introducing the introduction.
Yeah. Very interesting. Like when you do a GCSE essay in English literature.
Just to kill some words.
Yeah.
Welcome to Football Land. We are building a football-themed theme park in the Qatari desert in time for the 2022 World Cup. We've got loads of time. It's not until November. We haven't started building it yet, but we will be ready.
Really, no, really confident, actually. Started looking at the Google satellite images of the desert
and just looking at the land.
Do you know what I've been struck by? When you think of desert, you think it's just sand.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of, I don't know, bits of black stuff on the satellite image. But when
stuff.
I enlarge it, they're pixelated.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Stuff?
No, it's not secret. It's just the resolution's not strong enough, because I'm not going to buy the Google Satellite Pro.
Right.
Which would actually give you the resolution we need.
Oh.
What is it we're missing?
I think it's just a bit of rock. So we just got to watch out.
Right.
If there's, you know,
it's not,
we don't want to put a.
It doesn't belong to somebody and somebody's got really kind of anti privacy.
No, it's like, just, it's a rock. It's too small to see by
space. If you had a rock that had a sort of looked like someone. Completely accidentally, Google have to pixelate that out?
Yeah, if it looked like Joanna Lumley, for example, the facial likeness of Joanna Lumley.
Yeah.
Is Mount Rushmore pixelated?
Oh, very good question.
No, because it's in public domain, because they're older. They're over 50 years old, those presidents.
You know, I'm on Google Earth as a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was filming something in Deptford wearing I was actually playing the part of a football mascot, so I had a fully, like, foam...
Or another dinosaur?
It was not Ganosaurus for legal reasons, but for non-legal reasons, it was a version of Ganosaurus. And I had taken the head off because it was hot in there. We were on a break and the Google car went past.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks later, I look it up and there I am, a big blue dinosaur standing by the side of the road.
There's worse things you could have been doing.
What, are you talking about sex? Is that what you're talking about? Urinating?
All sorts.
How many people do you reckon have caught their partner cheating via Google Street View?
Well, none, because all faces are pixelated out.
Yeah, but you could tell by their T-shirt.
Or their trousers. Or a mole
on their genitals or something.
They pixelate out the face, but not the act of penetrating genitals.
Well, it wouldn't be on the end of it. If it was on the thigh, you're not going to pixelate someone's thigh, are you?
It might pixelate it if you had a collection of moles on it that looked like a face.
They look like Joanna Lumley. Right, let's go for a jingle.
Let me tell you about Football Land. Aided by a soundtrack that could be a goals montage sequence. So, Football Land is what we're trying to do. Oh, no, we're ready to go again. Yep, no, it's fine. I'll just be quiet. You go for it.
So, Mark, you have an idea.
Yes. So, my idea is more of a facility. We are going to have a fully international crowd coming to Football Land.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, look at the rides we're putting on.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not Premier League-centric at all.
No.
As we all know, the language of football is English.
Esperanto,
And not all of our guests are going to speak English. So I've thought for a long time, we actually need a school of English in the park.
Yeah, we do.
And who is it that speaks the language of football more eloquently than what other people do?
Like with their feet, is this like a metaphor, or actually with their mouth?
It's both, really.
Because Duolingo doesn't have a foot setting, does it? It'd be nice if, like, you could learn the language of footsie on Duolingo.
Yeah.
What you mean? Ugh. What's too far?
No, it's Glenn Hoddle. Glenn Hoddle is the ultimate person to head up our School of English. Not only, I mean, as a manager, he failed because he was such an amazing player. He assumed everyone could do what he could do with the ball, and it's just not true. Mm. There are no other people on the planet, really, maybe one or two, that could manipulate a football like he could. So he wasn't as successful as a manager as he probably should have been.
Yeah.
When it comes to commentating or co-commentating, I've taken to collecting how he uses English. He uses English in a way that is unique.
Mm. Yeah.
And we don't just want to teach people English. That would be boring. You could do that anywhere. We want to teach people English as Glenn Hoddle uses it.
Would you call it like Hoddleese?
Or Glenglish.
Glenglish.
Glenglish is
Glenglish.
Good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Would it be pronounced Glenglish? Spelt Glenglish, but
yeah,
Glenglish.
Glenglish, the Glenglish dictionary.
Can we sell it in the gift shop? Do you reckon you could produce one?
I will type it up, yes, because it's not really, it wouldn't work as a dictionary as such, because it's not like just this word means this. It's how he structures sentences, or some would say.
I mean, you can get dictionaries of idioms.
You can, yes.
Would it be like one of those?
Yeah, dictionary quotations.
You can get the Urban Dictionary, where basically teenagers go on the internet and they just write rude things and they get downvoted or upvoted.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
You just like add your own like toast and it means something completely different.
Yeah, it's usually something sexy.
Yeah.
Just like, oh,
pick
God.
A hole.
So, pick a hole. Pick a hole and put some toast in.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, pick a word, right? Pick a word.
Toast.
Okay, now pick a hole. Pick an orifice.
Pick an orifice.
On a human body.
The nostril.
The bum.
The bum, right. Right, now pick a, like, an adverb.
Timidly.
And then now pick another part of the body.
Earlobe.
Okay, toast. Toasting. It is timidly... going around the bum hole with an ear lobe.
Oh!
And that's basically
the
Urban Dictionary.
I've done that.
I've done that.
Well, you've got perfect earlobes.
Some people don't have earlobes, do they? And some people's earlobes are so long, you couldn't expect them to penetrate.
Well, throughout your life, they carry on growing.
Your earlobes carry on growing. But what if you don't have any earlobes? They're growing inside you?
The good thing with the earlobes, non-earlobes thing is that essentially it cuts down on the chat.
Yeah.
Like if you have no earlobes, you're a receiver.
Yeah.
And if you have lobes, you're a giver.
Yeah.
And that's how Urban Dictionary
works. That's how toasting works.
Yeah, that's toasting for you.
What kind of examples of Hoddleese / Glenglish?
Yes, I've collected these over some time and there are some beauties. I won't read them all out, but it started when in the middle of an England v Belgium, in fact, it was England v Belgium third place playoff from the World Cup. Hoddle said, "Harry Kane's movement has not been as usual as it is." That's amazing. What an amazing sentence.
Yeah.
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 You sort of know what he means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But
I hope you got better examples, though.
Oh, you don't like that one?
No, I thought that was pretty average.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
probably shouldn't have put that first on his list.
Yeah.
Third place player.
He gets the word swivel and shrivel confused.
Okay.
So he regularly says he turned and shriveled on it.
That's good.
Yeah.
He
happy
regularly
with that.
Says
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
He got confused on the 10th of December, 2019.
This is like you're doing a police interview with him.
He got confused between saying Chelsea were taking Lille to the cleaners or they were going for the throat.
Right.
So he said, they've taken them to the throat.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
This is Carragher. So it's not all Hoddle. I collect.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So, Carragher said, you want to get on that pitch and score a memorable goal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Some of these are not incorrect uses of English. They're just profoundly philosophical conundrums.
Okay, all right.
So
that'll be good in a language sentence.
And if these are as good as they sound, we could sell these to kind of various companies to put them on their walls as like, you know, inspirational.
Yeah.
I'll try this one on you. I don't think it's inspirational. I struggle to know what this means. So Jermaine Gina said of a game recently, the next 9 minutes is more important than the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why not just have 9-minute football
exactly.
matches?
Exactly. Does it make so much sense that we don't understand us mere mortals?
I think it's maybe because we're in the older generation category, or we're certainly definitely getting there, but we're not maybe in the world of the instant stuff and social media that everything is about the now.
Yeah.
That the now is more important than anything that led up to the now, forgetting that everything that led up to the now allowed the now to happen.
Have you ever watched a basketball game?
Yeah. I followed that.
Like context.
Yeah.
Is what they're missing.
Yeah. So, yeah. In basketball, there's four quarters, but they basically, one team scores, the other team scores, the other team scores. If they just condensed it down to have a T20 cricket version of basketball where it's just the last quarter, then they could save the faff with the other three quarters.
There's a lot of faff.
There's so much faff there. It's like, oh, in the third quarter and it's 98 all. It's like, what has the point been of the last?
A lot of American sports are engineered that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the clinch or that period that you head into where it's like make or break. It's like, oh, if they score now, they'll go on to win. And it's like, I mean, I've enjoyed the food, but I could have gone for a meal out, you know what I mean? Like, what am I doing here?
We've discussed the mixed metaphor in previous episodes. He's got a lot of thinking on his plate. Something Hoddle said,
that'd be nice to eat someone's thinking, a bit like Hannibal eating someone's brain,
a plate of thinking.
Do you not fear that the other commentators are going to be a bit annoyed that it's only Glenn Hoddle's name above the door?
Well, they might do, because I was just about to read one by Andy Hinchcliffe, who for my money is giving Glenn Hoddle a bit of a run for his money. So on the 18th of October, I put it to you, Andy Hinchcliffe, during Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. He said, "Tomorrow is another day and this is tomorrow."
Wow. Was it a midnight game that ticked over? Because that would be great.
It was the early Saturday kickoff.
So have you got like Glenn Hoddle teaching as a visiting like emeritus professor?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he's strictly not allowed to play head tennis in any gaps.
Is he going to blame anyone's misfortune on the fact that their ancestors were disabled?
Well, that
because
is
we
big...
are going to have to watch out there.
Yeah. I think we strictly limit him to the philosophy of language, because if it becomes a philosophy, then he's going to start getting into reincarnation and
not
dodgy comments.
I just think we might get shut down as a language facility.
We don't want any of that, Glenn. Thank you.
I think that's almost... I'm definitely leaning towards this being a print item so that he can't speak, rather than a language school. I can see this almost like you go into a foreign country, you don't really know the language, you pick up a guidebook and you learn how to say, how do I return the toilet and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, my baguettes have got lice, things like, stuff that is of no use to whatsoever, but you learn them, you think it's fun on the plane, it kills some time while you're waiting in passport kind of control. I almost see this like that. It's almost for the non-football. We're so used to it. We speak the language.
Yeah, it's true.
But you might be a non-football fan and go to football land and completely lost because...
You don't speak football.
He's hit the beans on toast by Paul Merson.
Yeah.
You don't understand what they're what they're getting at. It's a very... And also, a lot of people at football land for... I mean, if you think of how long they'd actually spend in a language... school run by Glenn Hoddle compared to the rest of their day out at the park. It's only going to be in there for 5-10 minutes. So what you could do is you could subjugate them to sort of electroshock therapy, or like in Clockwork Orange, you could open their eyes up or maybe their ear
open their eyes and just get Glenn Hoddle to breathe on you.
Yeah.
Breathe on your forcibly opened eyes.
Or just shout into their ears for 10 minutes as many phrases as possible.
He's not been as usual as he is.
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favour of Glinglish. What?
Well, I lifted a finger just to say if you want my vote. Not that you need my vote, because the way we engineered this vote system...
Glenn Hoddle is not coming in the park. He's not.
Well, then you got my vote. Yeah, aye.
Aye. You didn't even get to say that. Aye.
That's perfect for Glinglish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before three, say aye.
What is a beautiful thing that we're building here? It's football land.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I think we've overlooked one aspect, and that is how people draw money out at football land. We're going to try and go cashless.
We want
one cash machine, point, and that is the Matty Cash Point.
Yes.
So
we have got a coin in circulation.
We have got football land coins.
Gary Labbitt coin.
Yeah, that's true. But if people want to take out hard cash,
you can rub the Queen's nose.
Yeah. If you just want some money out to buy a coffee,
you can't.
At the moment, you can pay by card.
We don't receive cash. Is the only problem. So it's more if you like. You want to take it out for a symbolic nature.
If you know, like, for example, there might be a news agent just outside football land that you might need to go and buy a bottle of Pepsi because it's cheaper than in the park.
Yeah.
So the Matty Cash Point.
That's tight. You've got to walk however many miles through the desert to get a football land property to buy a cheaper. And to be fair, like, there are a lot of dads that would do that.
And
my dad would probably do that.
And you need to. Yeah. Get the money off Matty Cash.
Oh, right. Okay. So, back to your ride.
Yeah. So it's not a ride. It's just a facility. It's very simple.
Yeah.
We give Matty Cash we give him a briefcase of £10,000.
Yeah.
And he is the cash point. So he'll just be walking around. And you can. He is as good at handling money as I imagine he is right now. So he worked in a department store, I read on Wikipedia.
Oh, which one?
He has got retail experience. One in Windsor called Glen's or John's or Barry's.
John.
It is in Windsor, I think.
John's.
A department store. You've so anyway, he's got retail experience, so he's used to handling money. So, and he's called Matty Cash.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
He probably gets a lot of that shit. So he's, you know, so we're going to give him £10,000 in a briefcase.
Yeah.
/ suitcase or / hold all. And if you need money out, you give him your card. He takes down your details. He's got to do it legit so that your bag gets charged and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gives you your money.
Is he carrying a giant ledger as well as...
Yeah, he's carrying a giant ledger.
Proper,
The slight risk in it is that the way we pay him is because we don't really want to be spending more money than we've got. So... we need to furnish the cash point every day, fine. But we give him 10 grand in a briefcase and we say to him, what's left over at the end of the day, you get to keep, Matty. That's your pay. Yeah, that's your pay.
Okay.
Well, wouldn't that encourage him just to run away as soon as
if you need money, you've got to catch him. You've got to bundle him to the floor.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure he takes your card details properly.
Yeah. Could we give you one of those old card machines that kind of you put it on anyway?
The carbon one.
It's a brass robin.
And I realise actually that ATM cash points are what we call it in the UK, but ATMs. So we probably need a footballer. Ali Terence McCoist.
Alan San Maximan is halfway there. You've just got to change one
ATM.
Letter.
ATM. And we, you know, in hospitals, they've got like a snake around the T. You know, it's like a. So it's. Well, you know so how it looks a bit like a T.
You know how a saint is shortened?
Yeah, with a T
dot.
And a tiny S.
You could just have a small T, S and a big T.
Yeah, so Alan St.
Really small.
Is the
is for Americans.
If you're American, you've got to find Alan St.
Can I just rewind?
Yeah.
You know in hospital there's a snake around the T. What's that?
It's like a snake.
Yeah.
I think it's like a symbol of...
It's around a cross, I think.
Yeah, it's a symbol of we're going to care for you because we...
We've got snakes on our T's.
Snakes cared for St. Patrick, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a St. Patrick reference.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he drove them out, which was a bit sort of ungrateful.
I've got a slight improvement to suggest.
Oh, yeah, go on.
A tweak up. West Bromwich Albion, sponsored by a boiler company, and their mascot is a boiler.
Yeah.
That's a big, stocky machine that is not unlike a hole in the wall.
That's very
I think Matty Cash should be a mascot that is literally an ATM.
Well, yeah, very true. How about, though, we get Matty Cash normal, you know, in his normal self, but he's followed around by the West Brom boiler and that's where the money's kept.
And
it's very hot.
That's
it's a fully working boiler.
I had a question.
Your money would be very hot.
Matty had a table. Or it's that thing you'd see in kind of footage of people with briefcases before they'd sort of get it up on their knee and open it up like that.
Yeah.
And so Matty would have his card machine, he'd have his ledger balanced on it and sort of, he needs something to lean on.
No, he doesn't. It's the skill.
Yes.
He's trying to juggle everything while getting some money out of a giant boiler.
I think also that because there's no obvious outlet for the money to come out of the boiler, when you give Matty Cash your card and say, I want £1,000, the only way he can get money out of the poor bloke that's running around with him is just to punch it. He's got to punch it until it leaks money. And it's quite an inexact science, which adds to the drama. You might ask him for £1,000 and he punches it such that you get 900 quid or you get 1,100 quid.
Well, this is the thing. Matty Cash, remember, he keeps all the money at the end of the day that's not given away. So he's going to be... He'll have worked out how to punch that boiler so it gives less money.
There was... So.
But if you ask him for money...
Yeah.
You are allowed one punch of the boiler.
Okay,
so he's got to gauge it. He doesn't want to give you too much in the first go.
Banking piñata. In the shape of it.
And it's really hot money as well. Fully working boiler in the Qatari desert.
Yeah, I mean, that won't be a problem. Everything will be hot. A man dressed as a giant boiler with also extra money packed around him for insulation.
That guy's hot even in
West Brom. You need to get someone now and then to service that boiler by contract every year so you keep the warranty. So we would have someone making sure that boiler was fully functional.
So that day, when you're running around chasing Matty Cash, who's being chased by a boiler, the boiler will be chased by someone who's trying to service the boiler.
Yeah, because the boiler guy gets a 5% of Matty's take home at the end. So it's in his interest as well.
Yeah.
Matty Cash is going to be quite generous with the money at the start of the day because he wants to be seen to be doing his job. But as the day draws on, we're going to find Matty Cash hiding in different parts of football land where he thinks nobody can get him.
Yeah.
I've got sort of a nice extra to this maybe. I remember a time, because I don't really remember using cash now, because sort of one, I've just been sat in a house for 2 years and not really, and cash was deemed...
It's very rememberable.
Yeah. Cash was sort of deemed a dirty thing and we weren't allowed to, so it sped up the card thing. And so,
yeah.
But there was a time, remember when they introduced cash back and it felt like free money?
Yeah.
At the end of a transaction.
At a Sainsbury's kiosk.
There was just, the woman would give you money.
Do you want a cash back?
Do you want a cash back? Could we tape cash to the back of Matty Cash?
Yes.
So that if you can catch him and just whip a tenner off,
that's free.
You can keep it.
That's free money.
It's the Matty back cash back.
Matty's back cash back.
Matty Cash's cash back.
Yeah. Imagine like feathers of a bird. So he's got £10 notes all the way from his shoulder blades down to the small of his back.
Again, like piñatas. They have that kind of fringing paper all around
them. Yeah, that's right. Or like when when you see some service someone's providing on a lamppost and they've got the little thing to tear off with the phone number. Yeah.
So we can make, because this is all feeling quite Central American for some reason.
Yeah.
And there's that kind of winged god that they kind of see.
There's that kind of god that they make
a costume for that has all the paper frills
in football.
Not in football, am just I going in Central mental, America.
Or was there, like, back in the 90s on Transworld Sport, sometimes there was a cartoon
probably,
of a vulture in South American football when there was a goal and, like, it was a, there was
yeah,
this weird...
That's ringing bells.
Yeah. So maybe we could make this as CONMEBOL. Am I going insane?
I thought I was tripping in the 90s when I saw that, but I'm glad you saw it.
Is this
well.
The Mandela effect, though? Ooh. Are we just having a memory of something that never existed? There was a weird cartoon bird in
Nelson
South American
Mandela
football.
Yeah. Never exist.
The Mandela, you know, yeah. Do you know the Mandela effect?
Well, no, I'm asking.
A lot of people swear that Mandela died in prison.
Oh.
And that, but it's a false memory. Is it a bit odd having Matty Cash with a giant boiler just in the South American part of the park? Are people going to be asking why that's in CONMEBOL?
No. I think most of the stuff you've witnessed from the gates of football land, by the time you get to CONMEBOL, all bets are
off. If they get separated and you come across the boiler on its own, what's to stop you punching the shit
absolutely.
Out of it and emptying it of
That's
cash?
That's why Matty Cash and that boiler have got to work together so closely. Yeah. They've got to be like Alan Shearer and Chris Sutton, you know, they've got to be like telepathic.
Who aren't even top
telepathic.
20.
Yeah, Son and Kane. They've got to be telepathic. They've got to be almost handcuffed together. Oh, yeah. They probably would try and... I think, you know, when they turn up to work, if we found that they've attached themselves to each other via, like, you know, handcuffs or a rope, we use a bicycle, you know, wire cutters and we cut it off.
what were you going to say? A bicycle
pump. Chain cut or something.
Right, okay. If they turn up for work, linked together, we chuck bicycles at them.
Yeah, no, we need to make sure that... As much of that money has gone from Matty Cash's hands by the end of the day.
We're still giving the money away. I mean, I know we're going to get it back as long as we can get the ledger off Matty Cash and its ledger.
Do we have to chase him for that? Or
well,
does
that's
he
the
hand
thing,
that
isn't
over?
It? Because it's like, one, his accountancy is going to have to be spot on, otherwise this is difficult.
Yeah.
And secondly, him balancing a briefcase on his knee and filling in the ledger whilst kind of, you know, also trying to get money stolen off his back. I don't think it's... I mean, what this whole idea is predicated on your desire to get a cut price Pepsi from we're assuming a corner shop close to football land. So I'm not super worried that we're going to be losing that much money and that people
I
are going
to think we just write off
cash.
His 10k, and if we can catch Matty Cash and get his accounts done at the end of every evening and get that boiler and make sure all of the coins, because you know that boiler is going to be hiding stuff down his pants.
It's a lovely,
we've got a strip search that fucker.
Up his flu.
Yeah. It's a lovely,
it's a lovely in there.
Novelty item for football land. But yeah, I think the risks are low. We're essentially paying Matty Cash to come and run around in the park.
Yeah.
If his objective is to run
bird
around
in South American football.
If he's dressed as Big Bird running around South American football land, every time he stops to fill in a ledger, surely he's just going to be mobbed by other people wanting cash. The moment he stops once, his day is screwed.
Yeah, a bit like a shark can never stop swimming. Okay, great. All in favour of the Matty Cash point, say aye. 3, 2, 1.
Aye.
So I'm calling this Ooh Ah Canada.
Right, Ooh Ah Canada.
So obviously this is a ride based on the Canadian national anthem, which I think everybody knows is
Ooh Ah Canada. Say Ooh Ah Canada.
But yeah, I thought that wasn't very... I didn't think that was very
That would be amazing if that was the anthem.
Yeah.
All these beautiful, stirring kind of people in floods of tears, and then Canadian national, Cantona said, Cantona.
Yeah, so Canada's having a bit of a purple patch, a golden moment.
Oh, yeah,
so
they're very good.
We could call them
a
kind of golden generation. Yeah, yeah. And obviously, as you've pointed out, the pronunciation of this ride, as with quite a few of my pitches, is very key. And it's usually to do with some kind of very obscure or accurately placed punctuation. In this case, it's not. It's just rather than O Canada, which is just a single O.
Yeah.
Canada. This is Ooh Ah Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's double A's in there. or we're hoping that people will realise this is a Canada-based ride in a theme park for football.
It could be, you could have the badge of it, if there's a badge of this ride.
Yeah.
It's just Eric Cantona's face on a moose, his body.
Yeah.
Or his face, but distorted into the shape of a map of Canada.
So I've basically looked at the modern version of the Canadian national anthem, and it translates surprisingly well into footballese, Glinglish. So I'll rapidly whip you through the lyrics. Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
Yep.
Read playing at home or a stadium.
Yeah.
True patriot love in all of us command.
Right.
That sort of love of a homegrown sort of player or manager.
Yeah.
People, nothing more than sort of a homegrown player or manager.
They know the club.
Yeah, exactly. With glowing hearts, we see thee rise. That's sort of like going up the table, or maybe some kind of like weird sort of enlarged heart thing from being overworked.
Yeah, or everyone standing up as a ball goes into the box.
Yeah, the true north, strong and free. North South divide,
Newcastle United.
Can he do it on a rainy Thursday?
Yeah, there's a lot of that coming into this. From far and wide, shooting from distance, right? Not
shooting
always...
from distance. Is that in the?
No.
Oh, that's just you saying.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So like...
Stick it in the mixer. Oh, Canada.
Yeah, that's how well this blends. Yeah. You know, it's like what's what. From far and wide.
Also, that's like Man United fans when they come from the home counties to go to Old Trafford.
True.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it goes on and on. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. That's sort of like making a good wall.
Yeah. You know, defensive wall.
With the draft excluder.
Exactly. Yeah. God keep our land glorious and free. The groundsman.
Yes. He is very much the god of a team, isn't he?
The
god of
a club. Yeah. You know,
and he's there forever. He's there for 30 years.
Yeah. And they are, and they go in there with the forks and they knit it all. They repair the pitch after a player slid on his knees after a goal, thinking that a bloke's going to have to come in and get on his hands and knees and knit that turf
Is that a sign of getting old? I think that as soon as you see someone sliding across and churning up the pitch, my instant reaction is, oh, that's a nightmare for the grounds staff.
Yeah.
Well, that, and you're almost like you're thinking about the knees of a school child. Sort of sliding across the dance floor.
Yeah.
That's what I think sometimes. Yeah. I go like,
oh, knees of a child.
That's what we think. I think
knees of a child across the dance floor.
He's going to have burn marks on his trousers after that. He's ruined his cords. And then basically, then you've got Oh Canada, we stand and guard for thee again. We go back to the wall. So I reckon we could definitely make a ride out of this.
Okay.
And you would basically pick any member of the current kind of Canadian golden generation.
Yeah.
You get, I think, in a foam costume of them.
Right.
And like a bit like those kind of Japanese manga characters.
Yeah,
like
that kind.
So probably an oversized head of them, but on your regular body. So it makes you a bit like floppy.
Okay.
And then you basically run through this kind of Canadian maze of what we've just described.
Oh, right.
And basically see how far you can get without falling down.
Okay. While Eric Cantona's kind of commentating over you, looking down on you, like from a cloud,
saying kind of very sort of poetic and abstract things about your performance.
Yes,
avoided the maple syrup pool like a stalk in the autumn.
Yeah. I keep thinking about Jermaine Defoe because he played for Toronto.
Oh.
So maybe he could be there as well.
Yeah,
Jermaine Defoe. And maybe he's like an old wizard, like at the corner of a maze, because he never gets old, even though he's 107. You look at him, and the only thing that's old about him is his eyes. You look into his eyes, and you can see, like,
yeah.
in reflection, you can see, like, the Vietnam War or, like, the golden age of cinema.
Yeah.
Or the first, you know, when
whole
that...
Charlie Chaplin movies play out across his
and,
pupils.
And, like, when that... when that... Those people in the cinema ran away from the train.
Yeah.
Because it was coming towards them.
Was that the Lumiere
Apocryphal.
Brothers?
Yeah. Apocryphal.
Apocryphal, that never happened.
The Lumiere Brothers in Jermaine Defoe's eyes reflected.
Yeah. Maybe a train.
Like an elephant never forgets.
A train comes from the back of his skull and people run away from his eyes, thinking a couple of trains are going to, like googly eyes, but trains.
Train googly eyes on springs. So he's like, yeah. So
it might fool you for a second. If you've just run in the Qatar heat through, like, you know,
a
maple syrup induced sort of soaked, foamy obstacle course, you're going to be near hallucinating at the end, and there's Jermaine Defoe in the corner
with his googly eyes,
his googly train eyes. That's terrifying. You whip off your sort of Alfonso Davies head, foam head, and Jermaine's like, "Well done." And his eyes are like
retinas of like detached
googly eyes coming out. Terrifying.
Yeah, and they're easy to buy. We can just get them from a joke shop. Train googly eyes
and stick like Corby trains on the front.
Yeah.
Well, that's cheap.
Or you could get like Thomas the Tank Engine, the faces of those trains in the eyeballs, so they're just coming off. So it's just the front of the trains, just Thomas and James or Edward or Percy.
That would be quite a good kind of fractal pattern of if Thomas the Tank Engine turned up, and then out of his eyes, two trains came out, and each of those was from the Thomas the Tank Engine world, and their eyes popped out with more trains.
More trains, and then the last one is Jermaine Defoe.
And driving the train is a very confused groundsman.
And I think Josie Altidore played for Toronto as well.
Yeah.
So we get those two lads.
I mean, we're slightly veering away from the Canadian.
Not thinking of any actual Canadian players.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Jonathan David, the man so good they named him twice.
Alfonso.
No, there's Jonathan as well.
Oh, right, okay.
Jonathan David currently playing in place for Lille, right?
Okay.
I like the title of the Canadian national anthem. It sort of sounds like a disappointed mother.
Yeah.
Oh, Canada, what have you done now?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because Canada's quite often sold to us Europeans as some kind of utopia, and then when people actually move there, A, you can't get post to them, B, they can't get a doctor's appointment, and see, they've got to drive 4 hours if they've forgotten that there's no milk left.
They do have to drive a lot. In fact, to replicate the big, huge expanse of Canada, this maze has to be about 12 or 13 miles long, and you've got to do it on foot.
Yeah, and in foam.
Let's put some wildlife
in there. I think I'm right in saying Canada has more miles of coastland than any other.
So a lot of it's got to be near water features.
It's
got to
be very wiggly, inlets and wiggly woos is the geographical term.
And also something like 90% of the population of Canada live within 2 hours of the American border.
Yeah.
So it's a very bottom-heavy country.
Yeah.
So
the
bottom heaviness of the maze. So it can be very heavy.
What's your suggestion for that?
A heavy maze. It's very heavy. I'm just saying.
Gravity.
You know, in like Peru or Chile, altitude sickness, all right? The reverse.
Oh.
Very, very low, below sea level.
Right.
Let's put this maze a mile below sea level. So it's so heavy, the pressure's on you. So you feel like you're being weighed down.
Right.
Weighed down.
Does that happen if you go into a cave?
Well, it must do because the altitude.
It must do.
The gravity.
You're getting altitude sickness confused with gravity. Altitude sickness is from the thinness of oxygen.
Yeah.
It's not that there's more oxygen.
Yeah, it doesn't get thicker as you go into a mine.
That doesn't work. If anything,
well,
there's
that's
less
only because they haven't opened the mine up properly. There's not enough ventilation.
I think if you go into a ravine, you're not. Because otherwise, instead of putting when there was an oxygen shortage during the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah.
There would have been whacking people into ravines.
Get them
right
in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Well, exactly, but they didn't, did they?
No, because they didn't think. And it's because the pandemic happened so quickly and everyone had to stay indoors.
I know what you're saying is nonsense because in Journey to the Centre of the World, they don't implode.
Feel heavy. They don't feel heavy?
No, they're moving freely.
Have you ever met someone who lives in a ravine? They're like 3 or 4 foot tall, but just because of the pressure. The pressure weighs down on their heads and they're very small.
It's not because they're sort of a mad troll.
And
it's because of the pressure.
Hey,
yeah.
Case closed? How tall is Jermaine Defoe? He's 5'3". He's been weighed down from living in a cave.
In a cave?
Yeah, he lived in Canada.
Right.
And he went to Canada 6'2".
Yeah.
And he's come back from Canada 5'4".
Yeah.
How long was he? He wasn't there for very long, was he?
Well, that's, mate.
He's never anywhere.
He was in danger of not existing.
Yeah.
He was going to go too little.
The Canadians, they are normal heights because they're used to it. It's like, you know, people who live in Peru, they're used, like, they're used to they're very tall.
Well, I mean, you've sort of hit upon something mildly logical there, in that the Canadians have started to use the weather to their advantage.
Yeah, they have.
Whereas
they
used to accommodate non-cold countries and sort of play at better times. They're not now. They're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
We use this to our advantage, like the altitude, and are playing.
Yeah.
And recently spanked the US because of that. But, you know, if you can find a way to make something bottom heavy,
yeah,
then yes. Although, I mean, they're already in a foam costume laced with maple syrup. I think that's probably replicating it enough without digging a massive ravine.
Right, okay.
Not that I'm massively anti-ravines, but
okay.
I don't really want to dig a ravine in a desert, because if you ever dug a hole in a beach, how much it falls back in on itself.
Yeah, but that's because of the sea.
Hours.
That's because of the sea.
That's because there's
of the
too
sea.
Much gravity.
It's because the of the sand,
dig.
Not the sea.
Well,
have you ever dug a hole?
Yeah,
in,
mate.
In sand?
In sand,
what
yeah.
What are you doing on your beach holidays?
Well, I don't know about you, but if you go to the beach in England, most of your time has been like, I'm not quite dressed appropriately for this. It's a bit colder than I expected. It's a bit too windy.
You're avoiding
I'm
condoms
in my jeans.
And feces.
Yeah, and are you going to go in the sea? No, of course I'm fucking not, because it's not the 3 days of the year where it's warm enough to go in the sea. So I don't know if about you, but I can count the number of times I've enjoyed being on the beach in the UK on one hand.
I think that's probably why I spent so much time digging holes, because it was too cold.
Like, do you want to go and stand in the sea? No, because it's really sharp on my feet. Because British sand is British sand is really like scratchy.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It's like, oh, we're on a pebble beach. For some reason, like, I don't know why Brighton, like, when they went on the internet to get their sand, they got screwed over.
They got
20,000 tons of pebbles.
Yeah, they got coarse sand and it arrived and it was just all pebbles. Fucking hell, this is really coarse.
Rustic sand.
So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
So I think we'll be better off in Qatar because it'll be fine sand.
Not convinced, but I think the maple syrup, maybe if we don't pave it, how about this?
Yeah, okay.
You're in a foam
don't pave
Alfonso
it.
Davis outfit.
Yeah, and it's maple syrup dribbling between your toes.
Yeah, laced with maple syrup, and therefore you're picking up sand as you're going.
Yeah,
Oh, and therefore it's getting heavier, so you're bottom heavy. How about that?
All right.
Will that satisfy your need for bottom heaviness?
What animals like... Let's just make it a little bit difficult.
Oh.
What animals like licking up maple syrup? Because we can have like a moose
animals,
like licking your toes and stuff as you go through.
Let's not overcomplicate this.
No.
You've tried your best, but I still think just it's a gauntlet.
Yeah.
With maple syrup and foam costumes.
And Jermaine Defoe.
With trains for eyes.
All right.
All right then. All those in favour of Ooh Ah Canada, the Canadian rides where you go through Canada and stuff happens with maple syrup and sponges, and definitely not anything to do with altitude sickness or the ravines and nonsensical physics. Say aye after three. 1, 2, 3.
Aye. Congratulations, Ryan. And kept it simple.
Canada. We've done it. We've done another three. Send us your jingles.
Yeah.
Send us your Patreon rides. We'll read them out in full.
Yeah.
And keep listening and sharing and liking.
Yeah.
Review us.
Or even don't listen, just play, press play, and then walk away from it.
Leave it on loop.
Yeah. Just play multiple times.
Actually, I think, just download it and that'll even do a thing. So it's very little commitment.
No commitment at all. All right.
All right see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.